Welcome to Night Sky Tourist, a place to learn the night sky, have fun with its ancient stories, meet astronomers and dark sky advocates, and fall in love with the dark. I'm Vicki Dirksen, your host and author of the website and blog, nightskytourist.com. If you've never visited the website, I invite you to stop by after the podcast. Check out some of the great blog articles, browse through the resource page, and sign up for the newsletters. The newsletters have great content that is exclusive for subscribers. Are you ready for an adventure under the night sky? Let's jump right in. If you've been around Night Sky Tourists long enough, you probably know my story about how I grew up in northern Idaho, and I thought everyone could see the Milky Way every night. Yet the only three things I could identify in the night sky were the moon, the Big Dipper, and satellites. Taurus was not on my sky knowledge radar until adulthood. In fact, the only Taurus I knew as a kid was the car that was made by Ford, and I only knew that because my friend's parents drove one. I was totally out of the loop on the most prominent and easy to find constellations. But once I found the constellation Taurus for the first time and I knew what time of year to look for, I never had trouble finding it again. We're going to hang out with this super cool constellation for a bit tonight. So go ahead and prep your stargazing app by opening it up, turning down the screen brightness, and setting the phone to night mode to give your screen a reddish hue instead of the night vision destroying bright blue hue. Dress in your warm clothes, gather everyone in your house, turn off all the lights, and I'll meet you outside under the stars in just a minute. Think back to when your grandparents were kids. How many decades ago was that? A recent study shows that light pollution is increasing 10% per year. So imagine how much the view of the night sky has changed since they were young. Now imagine giving them the gift of a beautiful night under the stars. Given their age, it might be necessary to plan well so that their experience is comfortable and enjoyable. I've written a blog article titled 7 Tips for Stargazing with Grandparents. As you start thinking of the perfect place to take them away from light-polluted skies, check out the article and make sure you're ready for the best possible evening under the stars. Go to the podcast show notes and click on the link, and then you'll be ready to show your grandparents some stellar love. Are you ready to check out Taurus tonight? You can find Taurus just a bit to the northwest of Orion. In fact, it's practically straight up overhead in February. I always start by looking for a V that has a red star in it. And that V is usually turned on its side from your view. And it represents the face of a bull, B-U-L-L, according to Greek mythology. If you start at the point of the V and follow the stars up one side and keep going, you'll find the tip of its horn. And then follow the other side of the V to find the tip of its other horn. This makes a really tall V in the night sky. The face portion has its own name, and it's called the Hyades. And there is one red star in it. I like to think of it as the bull's angry red eye. And that star is called Aldebaran. And why is it red? Think of your kitchen or your shower faucet, and when you turn it to red, you get hot, and when you turn it to blue, it gets cold. But stars are the opposite. Young, hot stars are bright white. But as a star ages, it expands and cools, and it turns into a red giant. So red stars are older and cooler than the white stars. So looking up at Aldebaran, you can see that it's old and it's cooler than our sun, but it's also 44 times the radius of our sun and 400 times more luminous. Astronomers are pretty sure Aldebaran has a planet that's much larger than Jupiter. We actually have a planetary probe that's called Pioneer 10, and it's heading in that direction. And it should reach Taurus in about 2 million years. Okay, so the thought of that unravels this trail of questions for me. What is the likelihood of it even reaching Aldebaran without decaying on the way? Can it continue to send information back to Earth for that long? What if Earthlings no longer use the same technology to listen 2 million years from now? I mean, nobody even listens to 8-track tapes anymore, and those were only invented 60 years ago. What if humans have evolved to the point that everything about this conversation is totally moot? And what if there are no more humans in 2 million years? If you really want to go down a rabbit hole, do a search on when humans will go extinct. You'll learn a lot of science while filling your head with a lot of speculation at the same time. Okay, but back to Aldebaran. Aldebaran is the 14th brightest star in the sky, and it's only 65 million light years from the sun, which makes a 2 million year journey seem pretty darn impressive. Here's something else that's interesting about this star. From our viewpoint on Earth, it looks like it lives in the neighborhood of the Hyades, the bull's face. But it's not. The rest of the stars in the Hyades, that V shape, they're twice as far away as Aldebaran is. So let's zoom back out for a minute because we haven't looked at the entire constellation yet. You saw the Hyades, which is the bull's face, and you traced his face upwards to the tips of his horns. But there are two more portions to see. First of all, there's a trail of stars that drift down from the Hyades that make up the front of his body. And then there's a compact little star cluster just to the west of the Hyades. I'm often asked if it's the Little Dipper because those six stars do make the shape of a tiny, tiny Little Dipper. But no, it's not the Little Dipper. It's called the Pleiades. The Pleiades is in the shoulder of the bull. And depending on your eyesight, you might see up to six stars in the cluster. But there are over 1,000 stars packed into that little area. You can learn all about the Pleiades and the great cultural star stories associated with it in episode 87. And you can find a link for it in the show notes or just go to nightskytours.com/87. In just a minute, we're going to step into the world of cultural astronomy and get to know Taurus in a whole new way. If you live in Arizona or you have plans to visit in March, I invite you to the Fountain Hills Dark Sky Festival on March 30th, 2024. This event began in 2018 as a celebration of our town's certification as the world's 17th international dark sky community, and it's become a growing annual event. Our keynote speaker this year is Joe Marchant, author of the book Human Cosmos. She's going to be a guest on this podcast in a couple of weeks, so watch out for that one. We'll also have Marcia Diane Arnold doing a story time for kids with her really sweet book called Lights Out. Marcia has been a guest on the Night Sky Tours podcast twice on episodes 2 and 54. We have a huge variety of exhibitors, virtual reality tours of the solar system, live nocturnal animals, hands-on activities, and the chance to make a postcard that will go to space with Blue Origin and then be mailed to your mailbox after its trip. And of course, no proper festival is complete without food trucks, a beer and wine garden, and live music. And when the sun goes down, we'll have dozens of telescopes for stargazing, and I'll be leading some laser-guided naked-eye tours across the night sky. For all the details about this event, visit fhdarksky.com or click on the link in the podcast show notes. Taurus is the Latin word for bull, and it's pretty easy to envision this constellation as a bull. But the image of Taurus as a bull is much older than the Greek or the Roman empires. And when I say much older, I'm talking about at least 17,000 years ago. And how do we know it's that old? Because of the cave painting in the Hall of Bulls at the Cave of Lascaux in France. Those paintings have been dated back to 15,000 BCE. And they clearly depict the images of a bull with similar star positions as Taurus, including the position of the Pleiades. The ancient Babylonians cataloged Taurus as the bull of heaven as early as 1000 BCE. But the Babylonians clearly knew Taurus as a bull long before they made their star catalogs, because Taurus appears in the Epic of Gilgamesh that was written about 1,000 years earlier. In the Epic of Gilgamesh, the goddess Ishtar is unhappy that Gilgamesh has ignored her advances, so she sent Taurus, the bull of heaven, to kill him. Enkidu, the friend of Gilgamesh, tears off the bull's back and hurls it into the sky, forming what we know today as Ursa Major and Ursa Minor. And when we look at the constellation of Taurus today, he doesn't have a back end, which is a perfectly good corroboration with this story. Some see Orion as the character Gilgamesh facing off with Taurus. The ancient Egyptians viewed Taurus as a sacred bull that represented the renewal of life in the spring. In Hebrew mythology, Taurus was the first constellation in their zodiac. The first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, is represented by a bull. And then moving forward in time to Greek mythology, Taurus was connected to Zeus. Zeus took on the form of a white bull to kidnap Europa, a well-known princess from Phoenicia. And in another version, Zeus wants to hide his mistress Io from his wife, so he changes her into the form of a bull. But note also that Io and Europa are names for two of Jupiter's moons, and Jupiter is seen as a representation of Zeus. Now, moving to another part of the world, the Inuit of the Arctic see the Hyades as a representation of the polar bear. Aldebaran, the red star, is the bear, and the remaining stars are dogs. You know what? I'm just going to read this story to you from one of my favorite star story books. Here it goes. This story is called The Polar Bear and the Three Runners, an Inuit tale. Since time began, Inuit hunters have lived in awe of mighty Nanuk, the ghost white polar bear. It is Nanuk who decides if a hunt will be fruitful, and for this, the Inuit show their respect by offering their weapons to the bear's soul. Seen by day crossing the ice on fur-soled paws, at night, Nanuk shines brightly among the stars, outrunning its pursuers across the skies. Once in the far-flung north, a woman left behind her husband and home and headed off across the ice to live among the polar bears. The bears treated her kindly and brought her meat to eat from the seals that they hunted. But as the seasons changed and the year passed, the woman grew lonely. She missed her family and her old life and longed to return to visit them. Reluctantly, the bears agreed on one condition. She must not tell anyone that she lived among them or let their secret location be known. Solemnly, the woman made her promise and gladly set off for home. For a while, all was well until one day the bears spied the dread sight of hunters in the distance, racing across the snow in their dog-drawn sleds. The woman had broken her promise and brought death and danger into their midst. As the bears fled the hunter's spears, 5 slavering, spittle-flecked dogs were let loose to give chase. Breaking away, Nanuk, the master of the bears, ran faster and faster across the ice, the dogs in deadly pursuit, until they reached the very edge of the world and plunged into the sky. There they appear to this day, the brightly shining star that is the bear, Nanerjuk, surrounded by a glittering circle of chase-hungry dogs, Kimit. Many suns and moons later, 4 hunters spotted the bear glinting in the night sky. Brave-hearted, the hunters climbed up and up until the bear was almost within reach. Quickening their pace, they began to give chase, speeding, spears ready, across the black. As they ran, one hunter dropped his mittens, which fell through the deep and dark to the ground far, far below. Realizing that his mittens were gone, the hunter clambered back down and down to earth, leaving his three friends to continue their quest. In doing so, he became the only one of the hunters to make it back to their camp, while the others remained forever in the sky as three stars. To the Inuit, they are known as Ulaktut. To others, they are the three stars in the belt of Orion. Look closely, and below them, you can see their star children carrying warm clothes of caribou skin for their fathers and growing cold from running across the dark night. So in this story, we're combining several constellations with Ursa Major and Minor and Orion and Taurus. And that story is from the book called Star Stories, Constellation Tales from Around the World by Anita Gannery and illustrated by Andy Wilkes. I think that everyone should have a book on their bookshelf with a collection of star stories because reading them makes you see the sky in new ways. And I hope you see Taurus with new eyes. Be sure to check out the show notes for everything mentioned in this episode or visit nightskytourist.com/89. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Night Sky Tourist podcast. If you enjoy the Night Sky Tourist podcast, please show your support by subscribing to it and giving us 5 stars. Your ratings are really important to me, and they help more people discover the podcast. Be sure to visit nightskytourist.com for great articles and resources. And while you're there, sign up for the newsletter for exclusive content. Until next time, keep looking up.